Turn, please, to the book of Haggai. It's close to the end of the Old Testament, the second chapter, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 963. We'll read responsively verses 1 through 9 of Haggai chapter 2. Once again, reading responsively verses 1 through 9 of the second chapter of Haggai, and may we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, and verse 3 is the text verse, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do ye see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's complete the reading together, please. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's pray. Father, we seek thy blessing upon us, upon the service tonight. This is your business. Give us the attention that it deserves. Blessed with power, the preaching and the hearing of this, thy precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to do what angels long to do but cannot because they're not qualified. We come now to do that through which it has pleased God to save the lost. We come now to do that which thou hast commanded thy servants to do for these 2,000 years, yea, even the prophets before them. I pray there'll be a holy hush in this room as we begin to look on things eternal from the only book that is eternal. Meet with us for these moments and accomplish thy purpose for this hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you be very still, and would you look this way, and would you listen with your mind and your heart and your soul and your body? I'm going to speak this morning, tonight, on the subject, the backslider only loses one thing. I'm going to lay a foundation for the message, and you'll have to listen carefully in order to get the foundation. And so I'd like for every eye focused this way and every mind focused on this truth with which I will share tonight with you. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt to start their trek that was supposed to be just a small, brief one, but lasted for over 40 years, God gave them the instructions through Moses on Mount Sinai of the building of a house. It was a portable kind of a house of God because they were traveling. It was a tent-like structure. It was a very common, rugged, durable kind of a thing. It was divided into three sections. The court, in that section, there was a brazen altar where the lamb was slain. Listen carefully, this is the foundation. If you don't get this, you won't get the last part. In the outer court, over which there was no covering, there was the brazen altar where the sacrifice for sin was made, the lamb. There also was the brazen laver, a place of washing and cleansing in water. There was a room just next door to the court that was 15 feet wide, 15 feet high, and 30 feet long. That was known as the holy place. In that room, there was the golden candlestick providing the light, the only light for the house of God. There was the table of showbread that contained 12 loaves of bread replenished regularly. There was the altar of incense. There was a third part of the house of God, actually a second part of the enclosed house, called the Holy of Holies. It was 15 feet wide, 15 feet long, and 15 feet high. In that Holy of Holies, there was a little piece of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant. Inside that Ark of the Covenant, there was Aaron's rod that budded, a golden pot of manna, and the two tablets of stone on which the laws of God were given, the commandments. Over that, on the top of that Ark of the Covenant, was solid gold, and it was called the mercy seat. Hovering over that mercy seat, there were two cherubim. There were cherubim beaten of gold. And above that was the Shekinah glory, even the presence of God dwelling with His people in the Holy of Holies. When they settled in the Promised Land, no longer did they need a tent in which to meet. But God gave instructions to King David to build a permanent house of God known as Solomon's Temple. David began it and gathered the materials, and Solomon finished it and dedicated it. It was a magnificent structure. Over $5 billion spent. The interior was overlaid with gold. 30,000 men were hired just to cut down the trees in Lebanon that were used in its construction. 150,000 men were employed just to be hewers of stone alone. 150,000 men were employed just to be hewers of stone alone. 7.5 years were taken in the building of this magnificent structure. Are you listening? However, basically, in some form, they always had a place for the slaying of the animal, the offering, the altar. They always had in the new temple, no matter how many temples there was always a place also for the cleansing, the laver, if you please, the washing, the cleansing. There was always some kind of a candlestick in which the oil was placed, providing light for the house of God, some kind of a lampstand. There was always a place for the showbread. There was always a place for the altar of incense. There was always a place for the Shekinah glory. There was always the Holy of Holies. Israel loved this house. Solomon's temple was the most sacred spot on the face of the earth, there on Mount Moriah, probably where Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Do not leave me now. Do not leave me now. They loved it dearly. With the passing of the years, Israel had her roller coaster kind of a life, sometimes on mountain peaks, sometimes in valleys, sometimes in revival, sometimes in apostasy. And then there came a time of awful spiritual apostasy in the life of Israel when God had to punish her and send her away for 70 years of captivity in the land of Babylon. It was hard for them to leave their homes. It was hard for them to go away on a trip of several hundred miles. And in those days, several hundred miles, 500 miles, would be, well, there's no place on earth could be as remote as 500 miles from home, unless it'd be in Soviet Russia in slavery. But now, 500 miles from home, their homes destroyed, their beloved city leveled. But the hardest thing for all of the spiritual Israelites to take, and I mean they're really Israelites, but those who were spiritually minded. The hardest thing for them to take was the fact that their beloved temple had been destroyed. I mean this structure whose building took 7.5 years. Think of it. $5 billion spent on it. Think of it. 130,000 men, 150,000 men just to hew the stone. And 30,000 men just to fell the trees of the cedars of Lebanon that were used in the building of this massive structure. Now, wait a minute. Sin had come. Apostasy had come. God's judgment had come. And the people were being punished. And the beloved temple was destroyed. Now, for 7 years, they've been in bondage. Their punishment is over. Their sentence is finished. Now a remnant returns with the permission of the king to come back to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God. And this they do. They begin building. And with the building, as is always the case, there came opposition. All kinds of opposition. And then there came discouragement and a cessation of building. And for a season, they did not build at all. And they backslid. And then God raised up two prophets. A young prophet named Zechariah. An old prophet named Haggai. And these two prophets, the old prophet and young prophet, preached to the people, get back to work. Get back to building the house of God. And they did get back to work. And they built the house of God. Now the work is finished. They come to dedicate the house of God. And the young people are shouting and rejoicing because of the beautiful new temple. But that night in the camps and tents of Israel, there was weeping heard in the tents occupied by older people. For you see, this new temple built after their punishment because of their sin could not be compared to the old temple. It did not take 7.5 years of labor to build. It did not cost $5 billion, give or take some. Compared to the old temple, this was just a little thing. In fact, they cried about it. The prophet Zechariah, in his prophecy, asked the question, shall we come to the day of despising little things? But I want you to get this now, and I'm going to get to the application in a minute. Now, don't miss it. It was different. It did not have the magnificence of the first temple. It was a shack in comparison to that magnificent edifice planned by David and built by Solomon. But in spite of that fact, the new one had some things that the old one also had. For example, the same sacrifice was laid on the altar. They had no better lamb in the old temple than they had in the new temple. It still must be on the Day of Atonement and the Passover time. It still must be a male lamb. And it still must be a male lamb without blemish. And it still must be held for 4 days to prove that it was without blemish. And though the older temple was far more magnificent, the main things that the older temple had were also available for the new temple. The newer people offered the same sacrifice
in the new temple, though it was not comparable with the old magnificent structure, nevertheless, the old one had no better sacrifice than the new one. But that isn't all. They had the same water in the laver. No better water. The same water. Now, they may have had a more magnificent laver in the old one. They may have had a more magnificent building and structure, but the water was still the same. And they also had no better bread, the same showbread. It was the same recipe. And the same bread that was in the magnificent older structure that was destroyed because of sin and God's people going into apostasy. That bread in the old was no better than the bread in the new. Now, it may have been the table on which the bread was spread was nicer, but the bread was the same. Not only that, the lampstand in the new temple had no better oil than the lampstand in the old temple. Now, the older temple may have had a more elaborate lampstand. I do not know. I know it had a more elaborate surrounding. I know it was more magnificent than the new temple was. But just as they had no better sacrifice in the old temple, and they had no better water in the old temple, and they had no better bread on the table of showbread in the old temple, even so, they had no better oil in the old temple than they had in the new. It was the same. It was olive oil beaten from the olives that provided the light in the new temple, just as in the old. But that isn't all. The same incense, are you listening? The same incense that was on the altar of incense before is on the altar of incense now. Now, it may have been the altar was nicer before, but no better incense, and no better bread, and no better oil, and no better water, and no better sacrifice. Not only that, the glory of God that finally came in the Holy of Holies in the new temple was exactly the same that was in the old temple. You see, when they came back after 70 years of punishment because of 490 years of backsliding, they had only one thing they had lost. They had lost the beauty of the structure. But they had not lost the offering. They had not lost the laver water. They had not lost the oil. They had not lost the bread. They had not lost the incense. And they had not lost the mighty glory and power of God in the Holy of Holies. Now, I'm talking to folks, by the way, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20 teach us that there is a temple today. That temple is not made with mortar and stone hewn by 150,000 men. That temple is not made with wood chopped and felled by 30,000 men. That temple today is not a place of a altar of incense as we count the altar of incense in the Old Testament temple. My Bible says that temple today is the body of the believer. Every single person in this room is who's been saved. If you're saved, then your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, it just may be tonight that some of you have been away from the will of God. You've wandered far away from God. Now you're coming home. The paths of sin, too long you trod. Now you're coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Now I'm coming home. Now I'll tell you something tonight. Hear me carefully. I'm talking tonight to that preacher who's left the will of God for his life. I'm talking tonight to that deacon who's wandered off into sin. I'm talking tonight to that college student who's broken the rules and been expelled, or you're about to get expelled. I'm talking tonight to that young person who's tasted the bitter herbs of the last drop in the cup of sin, Satan's cup. Are you listening? Are you listening? I'm talking to you tonight. Now listen to me. Every eye here. I'm talking to you tonight. It may be that you have been tarnished. It may be that you had planned to walk the aisle a virgin. It may be that you had planned to give the man of God's choosing a pure, chaste bride. But it hasn't worked out that way. You fell into the hands of the evil one as he fell in the lives and bodies of evil hands. And you no longer are pure and clean. It may be that you were a preacher and you sacrificed your right to be a pastor. It may be that you sacrificed your right to do the perfect will of God for your life. But I want to serve notice tonight to you, and that is this. That though you may have lost some opportunity, and by the way, when you come back to God, when you've been away from God, when you come back to God, the only thing you've lost, the only thing you don't have available to you when you get back that you had before you left is a few opportunities. That's all. Now, you may never be what you could have been, and you never will be. It may be that you forfeited some opportunities. But I want to give you some encouragement tonight. You folks are not what you ought to be. You folks who have drifted away from God. You folks who are backslidden tonight. I want to serve notice tonight that most of the things that you had before you left the will of God and God's purpose for your life are still available in the same purity that they were when you left. Now, the Israelites didn't have the big temple. They didn't have the magnificent structure. They didn't have the $5 billion to spend. They didn't have enough money to hire 180,000 workmen for the wood and the stone alone. But they had the same offering. They had the same sacrifice. They had the same water. They had the same bread. They had the same oil. They had the same incense on the altar. And they had the same glory of God in the Holy of Holies. And tonight, I'm talking to numbers of you who've not been what you ought to be. And you ought to come back home to God tonight. Or maybe you have come back home to God in recent days. I'd like to say that you have lost some opportunities. And some things you could have done will never be done. But blessed be God, you have the same sacrifice you had before you left. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've got some good news for you. That same blood that washed your sins away when you knelt at the altar of grace, that same blood will wash your sins away tonight and cleanse you by the mighty blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, keeps on cleansing us from all sin. And you'll never beat that. I mean, the same blood is there. And the same forgiveness is there. And restoration is there. And the same communion is there. I'm saying, though, you may have lost some opportunity. That's all you lost. You come back to the will of God tonight and come back to God's purpose for your life. And I'll guarantee you, though the temple is not the same, the temple has been tarnished by impurity. The temple has been tarnished by the devil's wiles. The temple has been tarnished by the reddened cup. The temple has been tarnished by impurity. The temple has been tarnished by indecency. The temple has been tarnished by theft or lying or what may it be. But thank God, the offering is still the same. The old cross still rises on Calvary. And the Lamb of God is freshly slain every morning. And the sacrifice is the same. That isn't all. When you come back to God from being a backslidden, not only is the sacrifice the same, but blessed be God, the altar of incense is still the same. That incense that was burning constantly on the altar was burned, and the savor went up to God. And it's a symbol of our prayer life. As Revelation chapter 5, is it verse 9? I'm not sure. That talks about the prayers or the incense that are offered up to God. Let me tell you something. You may not ever be able to do all that you did before you left the will of God. But I want to tell you something tonight. You can come just as boldly to the throne of grace now as you ever could. You can claim the same promises from this book tonight that you always could. And tonight, if you come back to God, you can receive the same welcome. The same welcome that you received when you first came down the aisle and knelt at an old-fashioned altar and gave your heart to Jesus Christ. You can enjoy the same fellowship with your God. Hey, I want you to notice something. I want you to notice 120 people. I want you to see them in an upper room praying. They prayed for one day. They prayed for 2 days. They prayed for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. 10 days. And the power of God came. Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. One day. Think of it. Who are these people that prayed down that power? Well, one of them's a fella. They've been out cussing while Jesus is in his hardest time. One of them was a fella, or two of them were fellas, who wanted the uppermost seats in the kingdom. And one was a fella that even doubted that Jesus had been raised from the dead. And yet these men who had slipped away, many of them, and all of them forsook him and fled when he's being crucified. And now a few days later, they've come back. They've gotten right with God. And these same rugged men who had forsaken him and fled, now then, they're praying down the mighty power of God. And let me tell you, precious friend, tonight, it doesn't matter how far you've been away from God, you come back home to God and the same throne of grace you went to before is still open to you. I guarantee you that. The same incense. And so these Jews that had been gone for 70 years, and now they come back. The temple's not the same, and your temple's not the same. It may be that tobacco has destroyed your lungs. It may be that alcohol has destroyed your liver. It may be that sin has destroyed your conscience. But let me tell you, there's not a child of God alive tonight. But what if you'd get on his knees and say, out of my bonded sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy glory, blessing, and light, Jesus, I come to thee. But what God in heaven will give you the same access to his throne that you had before you ever left his perfect will. That isn't all that was still available. Not only did they not lose the sacrifice, it was the same. And the blood was the same. And the incense was the same. Thank God the oil was the same. The oil was the same. They've been gone for 70 years. They put their harps on the willow trees and refused to sing. They've been outside God's will because the mighty hand of God had come in judgment upon them. Now they've come back. Their houses are gone. That's different. The temple is not the same. The one they built is not the same. That's different. Ah, but that's the only thing that's different. The blood is still the same. And the sacrifice is still the same. And the incense is still the same. And thank God the oil is still the same. Anybody that knows anything about the Bible knows that oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. I've got some good news for you. That same mighty power you once had, you can have again. And that same walk with the Spirit of God you once had, you can have again. And that same comfort is available to you again. And that same desire to lead you is still in the bosom and breast of the Holy Spirit. And the same access to the fullness of the Spirit is yours tonight. And the same close walk with God is yours tonight. Who is that fellow preaching on Pentecost? Who is that man preaching and 3,000 people get saved? Last time I saw him, he was cussing. Last time I saw him, he said he didn't belong to the church. Last time I saw him, he said he didn't know the Lord. Oh, but when he came back to God and Jesus out there on that lake, Peter was naked, and Jesus said, put your net over here. And he put his net over there, and it did break. And Peter said, oh, my soul, I remember the first time I met this fellow. He did the same thing then. And he said, I know. And he said, it is the Lord. And Peter came back to God. And though he was not the same he was before as far as the temple was concerned, and his testimony will never be as good as it was before because he has a seam in his character, but bless God, the same altar's available to him. He can come to the same God. He can be filled with the same mighty power of the same Holy Spirit of God. It's there. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Same power is available. That isn't all. When they got back, the temple was not the same. Magnificence gone. Not $5 billion worth. Not the mighty size. Not the immensity. Not the impressiveness. But in this little old, new, simple temple, there was the same blood that was shed. There was the same offering that was required. There was the same water for cleansing. There was the same oil. But there was something else that was the same. Same showbread. The same showbread. Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. And let me tell you something, folks. When you come back from the bondage of sin, or come back from a backslidden life, college student away from God tonight, you know who you are. Walk just inside the rules. Tiptoe just inside the borderline of expulsion. Maybe even hiding some things from the faculty. You know who you are. You know who you are, church member. You don't pray anymore. Your Bible's hardly ever touched. You never go soul winning. You quit your bus ride. You know who you are. Let me tell you something. You come back to the will of God, and God will forgive you and wash you in the same blood. And He'll cleanse you in the same water. And He'll offer you the same sacrifice. He'll give you the power of the same Holy Spirit. But more than that, thank God, He'll give you the same bread. The same knowledge of the Word of God is available to you. The same great truths are still there, and God's Holy Spirit will shine His light upon those truths. And the same Spirit will teach you in the same power as if as it had been before. Who is that fellow picking up his pen to write? Who is that fellow inspired with the Holy Spirit, whom the Holy Spirit says, pick up your quill there, son. I want to tell you something that's written in heaven. I want you to take down something that's written in heaven. I want to give you a part of it, and you want you to write it down, give it to the people. Who is that fella? His name is John Mark. His name is John Mark. Yeah. Who on the first missionary journey got scared and homesick and turned back? But he came back. And though John Mark never was what he would have been, bless God, he had no better blood before than he had he came back. He had no more cleansing before than he had. He had no better Calvary than he had before. He had no better Holy Spirit than he had before. He had no better. And the Word of God was just as much there as it was before. I want to say this tonight. It's not hard for any of us to drift away from the close fellowship of God. It's not hard for any of us to find himself away from the place he once was. Not hard for any of us to find himself going through the motions, but not in his own heart, right with his God. And it's not hard for any of us to go out into sin and leave God's will and plan for our lives. And though when we get back, the temple will not be as attractive as it was before, because the stain of sin will be obvious on it. And it may not be as strong and durable as it was before, because sin has weakened its frame. Blessed be God, apart from that one thing, everything you used to have, you can have back. You can have back the same old cross. You can have back the same old blood. You can have back the same throne of grace. You can have back the same closeness with the Word of God. And you can have back the same mighty power of the Holy Spirit, and the same water in the laver. Young lady said to me, Brother Hiles, I'd give anything in the world if I were pure. She said, I wanted to be married a virgin. Didn't work out that way, she said. On a night of weakness in a time of my life, when I lost my closeness with God, I sold for a few moments of excitement my purity. She said, I'd give anything in the world to be pure. I said, are you saved? Yes. Are you right with God? Oh, yes. Have you come back to God since that time? Oh, yes. She said, if I could just be pure. And I smiled and said, young lady, you are pure. You are pure. You've been made pure by the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
And that same blood that forgave you when you came to Christ and covered your sin when you came to Christ, that same blood keeps on cleansing you from all sin. And that's the shadow of that same cross hovers over your life. And the same old book that you used to enjoy is still there. And the same Holy Spirit that taught you its truths is still there to teach you. And the same power is available. And the throne of grace is available. You are pure. Why? The water is the same. Now I speak to you Jews for a few minutes, you older people. I guess it'd be easier for me to join you, because I too am growing older, and my brow is more furrowed than it once was, and the face is a little more wrinkled than it once was, and the chin is a little more lumpy than it used to be, and the shoulders are drooped a little bit more. I understand you older people. I'm getting sort of be one of you. My shoulders aren't as straight as they once were. And so it takes me a little longer to get up than it used to take me to get up. And I'll be honest with you, it takes a little more zip for pastor school even than it took 22 years ago. I'm not what I used to be. I understand you. I'll tell you something, Jewish people. Those cedars of Lebanon aren't really what the temple's all about. And those giant stones and massive pillars and beautiful tapestry, that's not what the temple's all about. Let me encourage your heart. You won't find in the old temple a better sacrifice than the new one has. And you won't find any more pure water. It's the same streams from which you drew and put in the old temple that you're going to draw for the new temple. And it's the same olive trees that labored in travail until they gave forth their olives that were mashed. And that same olive tree that you had 70 years ago, that same group of olive trees, they're still there. And the same olives those trees produce are the olives you'll use now. And the showbread recipe is still the same. Don't be discouraged, dear Jewish friends. The main things of that temple are just as available to you as they ever were. But that isn't all. The sweetest of all is this. When they got back from being punished for sin, when they got back from being away from God, and they decided to say, I will arise and go to Jesus, He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. When they got back, there's something else that's dearer and sweeter than all any of this, made possible, however, by all of this. And that is the day came when the old Holy of Holies was filled once again with the glory of God. Our scripture a while ago said that even greater shall be the new temple than the old. Wasn't talking about a greater size. Wasn't talking about a greater cost. But let me tell you something. That Shekinah glory that came in that little old scrawny temple's Holy of Holies was the same mighty Shekinah of God that came in that old temple with its magnificence and beauty. And tonight, if you will come back to God and come back to His will for your life, the same glory that once filled your life can fill it again. I'm not saying that you can do what have the opportunities you once had. You've lost some of those. But that's all you've lost. You have the same access to the blood. You have the same access to the sacrifice. You have the same access to the throne of grace. You have the same access to the Word of God. You have the same access to the power of the Holy Spirit. And you have the same access to fellowship with the great God Himself. It's still there. I know a man who runs a rescue mission. He once pastored a church. He left the will of God. Went back to the skid row, even all the way to the bottom. Went back to the bottle, went back to all kinds of filth and sin. And then one night in a rescue mission, somebody stood up and spoke like I'm speaking tonight and said, God loves you and God wants you back. And that man once pastored a church, walked down the aisle of a rescue mission and knelt at the altar as an old rescue mission man. And God forgave him, and the same blood that cleansed him the first time cleansed him from his sin the second time. Though you're born again only once, he had to be cleansed again. And that young man, that man tonight's not a young man anymore. Oh, he's not a pastor of a church. He never will be. Ah, but he's happy in the service of the King. He runs a rescue mission himself now. He lost some opportunity, but that's all he lost. The same blood that cleansed him when he got saved, cleansed him when he got right. The same cross that hovered over him at the altar of conversion, hovered over him at the altar of rededication. And the same Holy Spirit that gave him power while he preached behind the pulpit of his church now gives him power as he preaches in a rescue mission and tells folk, fallen men, about the Savior. And the same book he once had, he enjoys as much as he ever enjoyed it. And the same Holy Spirit still available. And he goes to the same throne of grace and gets the same welcome from the Master at the throne of grace that he got beforehand. He lost the opportunity, but that's all he lost. I'm thinking about a man who's a school teacher in a Christian school. There was a time when he was a pastor of a church, but he got discouraged. And in a fit of temper one day, he resigned his church. And because he resigned his church, he quit going to church. He never went into what we would call deep sin, but he left the ministry, left the pastorate, and quit going to church even. And then one day, somebody told him that there's a loving God that hadn't forgotten him. You won't go too deep to get deeper than the love of God. You won't go too far that you get beyond the love of God. He knelt at an altar. He's not a pastor anymore. He never will be. But he stands up Monday through Friday in a Christian school and tries to lead some high school young people to live the right kind of lives. When he kneels to pray at night, he comes to the same place he used to go. When he opens his Bible, he finds the same verses he always had. When he seeks the will of God, same Holy Spirit that led him before leads him now. When he comes to God, the same Shekinah presence of God Himself is available that was available back when he was behind the pulpit. I know a student that got expelled from Hiles Anderson College. He was guilty of streaking on our campus. I said, "What is streaking on your campus?" He took his tie off and ran across the campus one day. But that student was expelled. Now, wait a minute. As long as he lives, the word expelled is on his record in our books. And he'll not ever be chosen Mr. Highlander, outstanding senior. He'll not be chosen that. Ah, but he's busy now on bus routes. He's busy winning souls to Christ. God's forgiven him. Washed again in the same blood which he was washed when he got saved. Filled with the same Holy Spirit that once filled him before he drifted away. Access to the same Bible he always had. Same altar of incense, the same throne of grace is available to him. He lost some opportunity, but that's all he lost. I'm thinking now, of a young lady in this church. She wrote me a little note when she was 13 years of age and said, "Brother Hiles, I'm not going to kiss a boy till I get married. I'm going to make you proud of me, and when you marry me, before my ceremony," she said, "I'll guarantee you that'll be my first kiss." We had a couple the other night. Most of you folks won't understand this. We had a couple the other night that wouldn't even hold hands at the rehearsal, because they'd never held hands before. And they said, "We don't even want to hold hands to practice the wedding. We'd like to have our first time our hands touched to be at the altar when we get married." This young lady had similar dreams. But she did not have her first kiss at the altar. She went far beyond that and soiled her skirt. She's married now. She asked me before the ceremony, she said, "Pastor, you think I ought to wear a white gown?" And I said, "Why do you ask that?" She said, "Because you know what I did." And I said, "Of course, you ought to wear a white gown." She said, "I don't have a right to." I said, "You're wearing one now." I said, you're dressed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ right now.
Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea, yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Bless God, my sins are gone. Dying thief, rejoice to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. She was not a virgin when she got married. But she's a fine member of our church. A fine soul winner. She's forfeited the privilege of telling her daughter someday when she gets older that Mama saved herself for the altar. She's forfeited a few opportunities. But blessed be God, that fountain filled with blood was still running the second time when she came back. And the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. And it was still there. And God was at the throne of grace holding his arms out and said, in case you want to come to pray, it's still here and you're still as welcome as you ever were. You can come as boldly as you ever did. And the mighty power of the Holy Spirit is still yours if you want it. Yes, Israel, you older people, could I have a chat with you for a minute, please? I understand, I think, how you feel because I'm old now, older now. I'm a little nostalgic, too. I love to go to the places. I'm a little bit upset because they tore the auditorium down where I got baptized. I'm a little bit upset because the place where I got saved is sort of messed up now. Places mean an awful lot to me, and buildings, too. I guess that's because I'm getting older. But you dear Jews have been gone for 70 years and now your hair is thinning and turning white like silver. Don't get your eyes on a building. Oh, it's not like it was. Why don't you go? Let me take you on a trip. Walk with me, please, inside the courtyard. Now, you won't see everything you saw before. It's not as pretty as it was before. But I want you to look. Smell, if you would, please. Smell. What do you smell?
Smell what I used to smell.
Yeah. I remember when I was young, I'd come in here and offer a sacrifice. Smells just like it always did.
Let me take you on. I want you to come and I want you to look here. The building's not as nice as it used to be, but I want you to wash your hands in this water. It's the same water that flowed down from Mount Hermon you had before. And I want you to wash your hands. Now look at them. Huh? Look at them. Were they any cleaner in the prettier temple than they are in this old one? This new one? Huh?
No. They look just like they always did. And that water has the same fresh refreshment it always did.
Let's walk inside. I want you to look, if you would please, over on the right. I want you to look at that table. There's some bread on it. 12 loaves of bread. What does that remind you of?
It looks just like it used to look. Same bread. What?
Looks exactly. It is the same bread. Look across the room. You see that lampstand burning? You know what's inside that lampstand causing that fire? Huh? What? Same trees produce the olives that produced the olives 70 years ago. If you don't mind, would you look, please, right across the Valley of Kidron from this spot? Look, just look out of the temple. Let's walk out to the porch a minute. And look out over the Valley of Kidron. You see that little clump of trees over there? There on the Mount of Olives. Look carefully now. You see those trees?
Yes, I don't see as well as I used to, but I see them.
You know what? Those are the same trees that were there 70 years ago. Neath the stars of the night walked the Savior of light in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son as he knelt neath the old olive trees. Those same olive trees that were there 70 years ago.
Oh, that's the same
I can smell the fumes. Same smell I had 70 years ago.
I'm going to take you another journey here. Walk back over here. See that altar? Yes, I see it. You see the smoke going heavenward? Oh, yes, I do. Does it smell familiar? Oh, yes. I'll never forget that sweet smell. I'll never forget how sweet and fragrant the smell was 70 years ago. You know what? That same incense. And just inside that veil, the same God is in there also. And tonight, maybe you, like Israel of old, have wandered from God. Maybe you're not what you used to be or what you ought to be or what you once were. And you may say, oh, I'll never be the same. Well, only in one area. Only in one area. You'll never have the same opportunities. But you can be forgiven by the same God, washed in the same blood, saved by the same Savior, forgiven by the same forgiving God, filled by the same Holy Spirit, instructed by the same book, and approach the same throne. Our Heavenly Father, bless, I pray, this blessed truth tonight. And I pray that people shall not despair because they've been away from God. I pray they'll realize that most everything is still like it was. Oh, the temple's been hurt a little bit. Face has a mark of sin on it, and the body's tainted a bit by sin and weakened some. But that's just the temple.